Hello, everyone. Well, welcome back. This is Zarina Hameen, the host of Disrupt Tech Podcast that you are currently listening to. I am very excited to be back with you. It's been a huge gap in our recordings, and that happens with creation and what you're trying to accomplish. And we've tossed around a lot of great ideas for this podcast, but centering it has been something that's been quite difficult, but I think that we are definitely there now. So we are coming to you live. It is January 18th, 18 days into the new year. So happy new year, everyone. Welcome to 2021. 2020 was a year like any other year, but it was definitely a very, very hard year for most of us. So welcome to a new one. I guess we are all on the ride here. We fasten our seatbelts and see what this year is going to bring us and what it's going to look like. I am hopeful. I am optimistic. So welcome back to Disrupt Tech Podcast. Again, I am your host, Zarina Hameen. And this is going to be a really, really great episode. I decided to frame this episode based off a lot of conversations that I was having with a lot of my friends, my colleagues, my family, about business marketing and what that looks like at the moment. We've had a lot of changes in the last year. As we know, as I've said in several different past podcasts, everything's kind of moved online. People aren't having events right now. If they are, they're virtual, things like that. So what does marketing our business look like in 2021? And one thing that I realized that it was like those old cartoons when the light goes off in the light bulb goes off on the top of your head, where I said, you know what? Wow. After seeing a few things and reading up on a few things, I realized it's taking a huge turn. So if you remember, the world of marketing, especially marketing your business, it's always ever changing. It's always ever changing. It's always something different. You know, past years before the millennium, there was newspapers, there was taking out ads, there was magazines. And then we kind of had this new age of marketing your business that basically surrounded or was comprised of social media. And social media was the big way it was new, it was fresh, it was innovative. It was a way to reach the masses. In a quick way, you could just click a post and that post could go out to ideally, you know, millions of people. So we've spent, I would say roughly, I would go about 15 years where social media was the end all be all to marketing your business. You know, we were still doing the traditional marketing. We were still, you know, taking out ads and being on radio shows and things like that, because those things will never die. Those will always be there. As long as there's an audience, there's a need for it as far as marketing your business or your brand or your product, or if you're an artist, anything that you're doing, those the traditional marketing ways will always be successful. But when social media came out, everything changed. It was just such a game changer for being able to reach people instantly and being able to have, even if you didn't have a group or a mass of people at you could do is just get the word out to your friends and family and then have them circulate it on their social media. And that's how it was, a domino effect. Right? It was like, oh, okay, great. I may only have, I don't know, 300 friends, but you know, my mom has this amount of friends, or my best friend has, you know, 1,000 friends. So being able to just kind of circulate it through your own, and that had never been really done before, being able to infiltrate the circles of the people who are closest to you to market your business or market your brand or your product was like, wow, you know, just with a simple post or a tag. And as we know, in the last 15 years, it's evolved. It used to be, you know, very isolated. You had your own little inner community. But now in the world of technology, in the world of social media in general, it's everywhere. You know, there's several different platforms. I remember when it all started, it was after Yahoo Messenger. That's what we all used. Then came MySpace and then Facebook. And now we have Instagram and we have TikTok and all of these. I mean, just so many, Pinterest, so many different platforms. So you can literally sit in your living room with your feet up and make a post, and now they've all connected with each other. So you can make a post and share it on your Facebook, share it on your Instagram, share it on your, and everything just goes everywhere. And it's an amazing way to reach people. However, like most things, it becomes oversaturated. And I think that's what we're seeing. We've been seeing it for a while now. But I think that's what we've been seeing in the last few years, is that I've had so many people tell me, especially colleagues, oh, I've been putting ads out on Facebook. I've been putting out Google ads. I've been sharing in groups, you know, and these are groups of like 20K, you know, 20,000 people in a group, and you're not even getting one like or one person who's buying into your brand or your product or your business. So many people I've seen lately have been really complaining about, oh, you know, this isn't working for my business anymore. And the reason that's happening is because it's become oversaturated. Everybody's promoting, everybody's doing their own thing. So it's very hard to be unique, to find a unique angle in marketing online, because everyone is doing it. And then unfortunately you have the spammers, the people who, you know, with anything that's big, you're always going to have the bad seeds. And there's a lot of them. You're always going to have the people who are going to use it to their advantage to try to scam people and hurt people and take their money and things like that. So, you know, as a result, it's also made other people eerie. So you may have a legitimate plan, a legitimate business cycle, or business or product, but people are very weary of it. So you have to learn now how to frame your language in a way where it doesn't sound like a scam or a spam. So it's a lot going on in the world of social media where people just aren't seeing the results that they used to see, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when it was still new and it was fresh. It's just become oversaturated. So I say that to say, what does that look like now? You know, people are hitting a wall. We're in a global pandemic. Now everyone's online, even people who weren't online before. Everybody is fighting for the survival of their business, of themselves, not even just their business, themselves, their livelihoods, their products, their, you know, anything that makes them money, to survive. Everyone has had to move online and try to market it there and get their clients, their customers there in this one area of social media and marketing. So it was already an issue before that. And we had already started seeing the decline of results through social media. But then in the last year, now it's become, I say oversaturated, and that's an understatement. It's just become, I think the best way to put it is a cesspool of information that most people are just becoming desensitized to it. People are just going back again to the traditional marketing, the ways of traditional marketing, of just, you know, if they need a service, they're talking to their friends or their personal colleagues, people they trust, because they don't trust what they're seeing online anymore or in social media. So it's like, hey, listen, I need an accountant. Who do you work with? Oh, do you know an accountant? Hey, I need an attorney. Who's your attorney? So people are going back to the word of mouth. It's so funny how things become full cycle. All right, everything goes back to the original idea. So now social media is not the way to get your business or brand out there. Word of mouth, which is what our original marketing was. Word of mouth. Your direct contacts, people you know, because you're going to trust who they trust, because you never know what's real anymore on social media. So not to make that a negative thing, but It is in a lot of ways. So what do we do? What do you do as someone who is just trying to promote yourself online or just in the mass media? You can't attend events right now. You know, your social interactions are very limited, if not extinct, in a lot of ways for some people. It depends on where you're living. So what does that look like kind of going into 2021, right? So I thought about this for a while, and then I started seeing certain things, and I said, oh my God, this is exactly what's happening. So I'll say this. I, like most of us, I don't have cable. I just never saw the point. After a while, it was just, I was always on my Netflix and on Hulu, and I could always just kind of plug my, Fire Stick into my TV, things like that. So what I finally did is I just broke down and I got a Roku TV. I have two Roku TVs, one in my living room, one in my, my bedroom. And, that way all I need is Wi-Fi and I can go to all my apps, all the best shows now, and everything's become ridiculous, but everything's on the Roku station, the Hulu, Netflix, Vudu, Tubi, Apple TV now has Disney Plus. Everything's pretty much on there now anyway. The annoying part about that, as a side note, is that, these apps were supposed to be a cheaper solution to cable. But if you were to subscribe to all these apps, you're paying just as much as you would for cable. So it's just kind of collapsed on itself. The original model is gone. But luckily with the Roku TV, they have a lot of like thousands of free apps that have amazing movies on them and things like that. So I've still maintained my Hulu and my Netflix accounts. And then I have all these other amazing free apps. Like Tubi is one of my favorite because I love indie horror, and they are the king of indie horror movies. And I also have Disney Plus because I have a niece who likes it a lot. So I've kept that subscription. So I've kept my subscriptions low. But if you have all of those, it's pretty, pretty expensive. So what I noticed is that a lot of these channels, a lot of these apps are like, hey, promote your business here. Promote, if you want to do this. Roku has a way where you can actually create your own channel on Roku. And a lot of people are doing podcasts, which will probably be oversaturated soon. And I love how I say that as I do a podcast, but it will, like anything else, just like social media. So what's the next thing? And it hit me, streaming services with being able to get a station on Roku, right? Being able to, you can even get, if you're an artist and you're trying to get like a documentary or anything, you can propose to Netflix. Everyone has their YouTube now. Everyone's doing YouTube channels and subscriptions. You have all of these amazing things that are happening, and these are all streaming services. So this isn't social media. And let's be honest, more people every day are watching, their streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and Roku and all of that. They're doing more of that than being on social media in a lot of ways. And it's still very untapped because a lot of people don't know how to get themselves on those platforms. So it's still very untapped. It's basically streaming services are the new, it's the new Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest of business marketing. I'm going to say that again. It's the new social media business marketing. It's still very new, so a lot of people don't know a lot about it and how to operate it and do it. And it's a way now for you to tap into a completely different audience and reach people in a totally different way than being on a laptop or on their phones. They're just watching their favorite TV shows and up comes your ad, or they're just searching YouTube and up comes your video. So I decided that should be the frame and that should be what we talk about today. I'm also going to talk about even music streaming, Spotify. There's so many. Now you can have ads on Alexa and Siri. So even when you want to deal with people on their phones, because 90% of people take ads that they hear on their phones, if you're advertising on Siri and Alexa, that's another way to tap in. So I decided that's what I wanted today's conversation to be around. I have a lot of amazing information for you, a lot. that we're going to go through. Again, this is Rena Hameen. I'm your host. What we do also is we do a live cast. If people have questions or they want to give comments or feedback, we take those. You can email disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com. You can always reach us on our Facebook, Disrupt Tech, as well as, you can directly leave your comments and suggestions and your questions to this podcast page, and we'll get all of it. We'll receive it and we go live. So if there's any follow-up information that you need after this podcast, please let me know. We will go live and I will be able to address all your questions and make sure that you have all the information you need. As I've said many times before, this is a conversation. I know I'm talking right now, but I'm giving you the chance to talk and to give your insights and ask your questions. So if you do have any questions, please put them in so that we can address them on our live cast. Our live cast will be on Friday, this Friday, January, if I'm correct, 22nd. So definitely get those in. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we return, we will dive into it. I will tell you the top streaming services as far as movies, music, smartphones, all of that to start marketing in a different way, to start getting the results that we need in the new age of technology. Okay, so stay with me. I'll be back soon. Are you looking for prime real estate in many different areas all over the United States? Look no further. Check out the Mike Doyle Group. The Mike Doyle Group will find the best realty estate that you are looking for and what your search is. They do a great idea of assessing your needs and being able to provide that for you. In order to get more information and speak to Mike Doyle himself, you can reach the Mike Doyle Group.exprealty.com. Again, that's the Mike Doyle Group.exprealty.com. They will provide you with all the information and all the tools that you need to secure great realty in your area. Hey, let's talk about our current economic situation in real estate news. We can do it through many different ways, but I think you should support Bad Bad News by Samir Fethbiar. She gets into amazing topics such as the start of 2021, corporate real estate and COVID, unemployment examined, connecting the dots, the election and the markets. If you want to know more information, go to www.rockwellconsultantllc.com/blog. Again, that's www.rockwellconsultantllc.com/blog to get more info on how to navigate the world of economics and real estate in our time. Welcome back, everyone. Well, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to dive right into it. So in our first half, we talked about streaming services and how that's kind of, I don't want to give it too much enthusiasm, but kind of the evolution here of marketing our businesses and what we need to do to kind of stay on top of the game in an online market that's become very oversaturated. So I mentioned, one of the things I mentioned that I personally use, obviously, in my home is Roku. So having a Roku channel is very interesting. And remember, everything that I discuss right now, it's not for everyone. It's you decide what works best for your business. But my job here in this conversation that we're having is to provide the information. And then you kind of can decipher through it and decide what is best for your business or your product or your brand. So as I stated before, you know, traditional television is fading. It's fading pretty fast, actually. So in this world of streaming services, whether you're hooked or not, it definitely provides a different highway of information and support, if you use it correctly, for your business. So I think roughly, you know, today's consumers want total control over the content they view. And that's why streaming services are so popular. And streaming boxes such as Roku, you know, are kind of making that possible. So in addition to providing content from broadcast TV, because you can always watch live TV, you have that option, and movie studios, Roku lets your small business create a TV channel. If television channel development sounds out of the realm of possibilities for your company, you can thank digital technology for making it happen because it's actually very simple. So what you should be able to do, there's a lot of information, but if this is the right road for you, the answer will depend greatly on the type of industry your business is in. If you are in an entertainment field and any of its facets, it would definitely help. But there's more to it than that. You can develop a channel no matter what your industry is, especially if you're focused on educating and attracting new customers. So by providing personalized information about your industry, your products, your services, new technologies, and even if you're in the world of tutorials, you can become a valuable resource for customers, and that you do fit the mold to start a Roku channel. Now, again, it's not for everybody, but if you're looking to make your brand powerful with strong recognition beyond a website or videos or social media, this is probably the way to do it. So if that's something you're interested in, you should definitely check it out. You should go to RokuTV.com and look at the information. They'll be able, I'm just giving you snippets here, but they can, if you go and you look it up and you look at Roku and what they offer, it's a great way to make a decision on what makes sense for you. The way to kind of do it, I'll give a little bit of how it does it, of how to create a Roku channel. Before you start, you will need a Roku device and an account. Sample content, so whatever you want your ad to be or your channel to be about, and the feed for sample content. Roku provides both assets, so you can get, you can kind of, they'll guide you along on what content would work and be most successful in creating a Roku channel. So after you do that and you do your general assessment, once your account is set up, you just kind of go to manage channels, you click add channel and continue. And then when the page opens, you can literally, they have a direct publisher where you can kind of follow the steps in the direct publisher, name your channel, put the content in and start building it. So that's definitely something to look into. Again, you can search Roku. You can get this information there. They'll be able to guide you a lot more than I can, but it's definitely an option, and it's definitely for a different way outside of podcasts and social media and videos to really market yourself by just having your own channel on a device that, you know, millions of people use. Roku is very, very popular. So that's one that's pretty good for you. Now, I mentioned earlier that Netflix, this is going to focus on a particular industry, because Netflix is seen as the golden goose of film distribution. So, you know, a lot of people hold the opinion that if your movie or your documentary or whatever you're trying to do isn't on Netflix, it's not really happening. We have a lot of different streaming services, but Netflix still paves the way. Netflix is still the giant. They started the streaming service industry, and they're still the giant in it, which is pretty interesting, because usually by now something else would have came and knocked it off the box, but they continue to be innovative and continue to keep their audience. So Netflix is basically the end-all, be-all of streaming services. So if you are someone who's an artist and you are creating a documentary or a TV show or whatever the case may be, getting an independent film or movie on Netflix is a big deal. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's not broad. It's not for everyone. But if you are someone who is an artist and that's something you want to do, just know that it's absolutely possible. It's absolutely possible. And some of the steps to getting your independent movie or your documentary on Netflix are pretty simple. It's four key things. So you want to get your film in the Netflix database, okay? Most important, I think step two is more important than number one, personally. But you want to work with an independent film distribution company. Now, that may seem like a big problem, like, oh my God, how do I find a film distribution company? There are a lot of them. A general Google search will link you to a lot of them. You know, there are costs involved, of course, if you decide to work with an independent film distribution company. But, you know, there are some instances where they'll take you on if you have an amazing idea at low cost to no cost. You just want to kind of talk to them and touch base with them. They may take a percentage of your movie or whatever the case may be. But first things first, you need to find them. And once you do that, they have the access to get your film in the Netflix database and be able to pitch it to them so that it gets on there. You can ask people to request your film in their Netflix queue. So everyone who has Netflix, they have a Netflix queue. And they can start requesting, like your family, your friends, your support system, they can start requesting your movie, which kind of gets on their radar. So if you do all these steps kind of in conjunction with each other and let them coincide, you definitely would have faster results. And the final one is getting press coverage of your film. Now, again, if you're doing the steps 1 through 3, you may be able to have a pretty good shot without that. But if not, just to get everything out there. And that sounds hard, but it's not if you think about it. Because again, as we look at the world of social media and online publications and digital magazines, you know, if you kind of link up to them and reach out to them and say, hey, listen, I have this movie or this documentary going, I want to get it out there. A lot of these online publications and digital magazines they're looking for content. They're looking to advertise. So that sounds, that would have been 20 years ago, that would have been difficult. It's not that difficult these days. So that's definitely something to look into. you know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but definitely doable if you're willing to put in the work and get on Netflix's radar. Now, I'll give you a few before I move on. There is an indie distribution company owned by Indiegogo, which is very popular. And that can help you get your independent movie on Netflix and all the other major streaming services. So not just Netflix, they work with you to get you on all of them. Okay, and it's called Distribber. Okay, Distribber. And so if you look them up and you contact them, they'll do all of the heavy lifting for you. Those four core points that we just mentioned, they'll do them for you. And they'll rally in your behalf, so it could make the process a lot simpler. Distributor does charge a fee of about, I think, roughly $1,600. But again, if this is something you want, you know, we're talking about you can get millions being featured on Netflix. So, you know, a fee of $1,600 is a very small fee. And you get to keep all the rights to your movie or your documentary, as well as 100% of the revenue it goes on to make. So if you pay them $1,600 and you go on and you make millions off being on Netflix, and, you know, and you get to keep 100% of your rights, that investment is minuscule to what you would get by securing their services. So that's definitely something to look into if you are an independent film artist or making documentaries, etc., etc. So another one is, and again, I mentioned this earlier, YouTube. I think that none of us can deny that YouTube has been a footprint in the online market for a very long time. Now, I started using YouTube, I want to say in 2006, Okay, so for me, and I think it was definitely around before then, but for me, it's been, you know, 14, almost 15 years of YouTube, and it has no indication of slowing down. It's actually just getting bigger, and they're adding more features. They have more users. More people are subscribing to channels, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a very inexpensive way to really reach a market. The only thing about YouTube is you want to make sure that you do have a good marketing team to market your channel, because it does have a lot of information on it. So you want to make sure that you're guiding people to your channel. So most of us already know this, but I'll go through it. It's very simple. You know, you create a YouTube channel. A lot of them go through your Gmail. So if you already have a Gmail email account, you can go directly from there, build your channel. You market it to get your subscribers, and then you just produce engaging content and use your follower base to market your business or your brand or your product or whatever you're doing, if you're an artist and you just want to promote yourself. YouTube is still a very, very powerful and effective way to do that. So again, you create your channel, you get your subscribers, and you just keep producing engaging content. That's just a marketing game. You just want to make sure you have a good marketing team where you're able to market it in a way to make it successful. So as far as all of those, I want to kind of go back into the main movie and TV streaming services. So just to kind of touch up on those, they even realize the power of their advertising influence, right? To the point where now you can advertise on all major streaming channels at once. So if you don't want to create a channel, or you're not trying to get a documentary on Netflix and all those things, Hulu just released its own self-service ad platform. I'll say that again. They just released their own self-service ad platform for businesses and people who want to post ads. It's called HuluAdManager.com. And so you don't need any approval. You don't need to do anything. You just go to HuluAdManager.com and you put in your information and what you want to advertise, and they'll run it on Hulu. So there's also, like I said, there's also several companies that you can actually pay them, and they'll put them on all of the major streaming channels, which is huge. So you don't even have to worry about just one. So, you know, for example, you know, Hulu, Sling, Roku, Fire, TV, Pluto, Tubi. I just talked about Tubi because I love their indie horror films. NBC, ABC, CBS, MTV, Comedy Central, etc. So there are just several independent companies that you can pay per month, and they will run your ads on all the major streaming channels. They do cost, again, if you look at the investment and what you would get on a return of that investment, it's worth it. So on average, it's about $1,000 a month for a lot of these independent places. But if you have a sound marketing budget, it's worth it because your return is so much greater. You put in $1,000. And who knows what you're going to get back. And I guarantee you it's going to be a lot more than $1,000. One of them is Sophos Marketing, S-O-P-H-O-S Marketing. So Google that. And they are one of the main ones, independent companies, that can get you on every one of these channels just with a one set fee a month and can keep it going consistently. So your return will be a lot bigger than $1,000. So just definitely check that out. So now I'm going to kind of move into a few other ones as far as advertising goes. So I mentioned earlier Alexa. It's possible to have your business or brand advertise on voice technology services as well, right? So though it's not a streaming service, it's equally popular and effective since it's tied to every smartphone in the world. So you can advertise on both Alexa and Siri at the same time for Android and iPhone devices. You can hire an outside marketing company, or again, there's other just like movie and TV streaming services. They're independent companies for doing this. One of them that I know a lot of people use is voicecommand.net. So again, that's voicecommand.net. And if you reach out to them, they have actually very low fees. I think it's like $20, $30. Well, they'll get your ad on Alexa and Siri, and they'll wean out the demographic that you need. And so they'll know exactly when to play your ad and to what people to play your ad to. So definitely check them out. You know, that's something everybody has their phones with them all the time. So that's something that can really help you out. You know, if people are listening to their music or messing with their Alexa or on their Siri and your ad comes up. A lot of people, 90% of people are on their smartphones majority of the day. So definitely check that out. Again, voicecommand.net. Again, I'm going to bring YouTube up again because outside of having your own channel, you can also advertise on YouTube. So I think there are roughly 2 billion logged in users who visit YouTube every month. 2 billion. That massive audience is making advertising on YouTube a go-to strategy for companies. Okay? If you're thinking about advertising on YouTube, you know, I know you're probably thinking, how do I do it? Well, it's just like a regular ad like you would put out anywhere. And on average, you know, it's pretty cost effective. So on average, businesses, you know, YouTube ads cost maybe 10 to 30 cents per view. So they don't charge you up front. They let you put out your ad. And what you do is based off the people who view the ad, they charge you 10 to 30 cents. So most people do an average of $10 daily budget. You know, so you can advertise it for 2 weeks, 30 days, a week, and per view is what they'll do as far as, and not just how many times they run it, but how many people click on your ad. So they're not charging you for running your ad. They're charging how many people click it on it because they're interested. So definitely check that out. That's easy. And again, it's ineffective and it's inexpensive. A few factors determine your ad cost, your ad type, your bid, your bidding selection, your targeting options, things like that. So definitely check it out. Check out, look, you know, advertising. So now I'm going to dive into music streaming platforms. Okay, so we have a few music advertising platforms that I don't want to ignore here because they're just as powerful. Okay, and you're not going to be surprised by the first one that I mentioned, iHeartRadio. And like Hulu, iHeartRadio has created their own ad builder. So regardless of the size of your business or, you know, reach or engagement, they're not doing an assessment of your business. You can just go on to their ad builder and create an ad, okay? iHeartMedia, their broadcast reach, I want to say, probably more people every month than Google and Facebook. Say that again, every month they reach more people than Google and Facebook. Okay, their iHeartMedia's broadcast, their radio stations, increase the brand awareness of up to 68%, if I'm correct. Okay, adults spend 2 times more time each day with broadcast radio than they do with all social media. Okay, 2 times more. Each day with broadcast radio than they do with all social media. This is what we're talking about today, guys. All right. It's still so untapped. It's an untapped resource. 68% of broadcast radio listening is away from home, reaching consumers on the path to purchase. That's what you're doing. People who are driving in their cars or working and they just have it in the background. That's your audience. That's our new audience. All right. And I know everybody's tired of hearing about millennials, but iHeartMedia, their radio stations reach more millennials than TV each month. More millennials listen to iHeartRadio than watching TV, and that includes app services. So that's an investment. Go to iHeartAdBuilder.com, and you'll find out more information about that. You won't be surprised by my second one either. Spotify. I am a huge Spotify fan. I love Spotify. It's my favorite. I've been listening to it for like 10, maybe 13 years now, using Spotify. With Spotify, theirs is great too because you can tailor your message to your audience's context, right? So, and that helps drive results for your brand. So you can always, even this podcast goes to Spotify. So I you know, people can listen to my podcast on Spotify, and that's a way that, you know, we are able to advertise ourselves, but you can also get ads. And again, just like everyone else, they have also created their own ad studio. And it's very low budget. If you go to ads.spotify.com, if you're in the US, -en.us, But if you're not, just go to addspotify.com and look at more information on how to do that. And then finally, because, and I feel bad that they're finally, but they've kind of taken a hit as far as the popularity of music streaming services, but Pandora is still very popular. I still know a lot of people who use Pandora. They offer a great solution as well. They don't have their own ad studio, but they do have the information on how to get things going. They hyper-personalize, which I like about them, your audio messages. So they leverage listeners, like listener data in real time. So they're able to basically know what market to brand you to. So that's definitely something to look into. You can go to www.pandoraforbrands.com. And they offer a lot of different creative tools to kind of get you going. Other music streamers that I didn't dive in today, but you should definitely look into, and trust me, and these are all free. So I wanted to kind of end this with letting you know things. If you don't have a budget, there's people who have budgets. There's advertising for everyone if you know where to look. So other music streamers: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher. You can advertise on all of those. And they have a pretty good base. They're not Netflix, they're not Spotify, but they have a very good listener group, especially for podcasts. So, and then again, remember, another way is you can be interviewed or take out an ad on a podcast. And since a lot of podcasts go to all of these, that's another free way or very inexpensive way to take an ad out on a podcast that's listened to and has a good listener base, and let them spread the word for you on all of these areas, Spotify and Google and Apple and all of that. So it's a lot of information, but what all of this comes to, the conclusion is streaming services, that's the future. Like we said, social media is just too inundated now. And I'm not saying stop all of your social media marketing, but you definitely want to jump ahead to what's next and a different audience and a different way to reach people. I hear it so many times, like I said before, you know, I'm not getting the results I used to, you know, people, you know, have to like or comment for your post to even stay relevant. If it doesn't, then it falls into a page or a group and nobody sees it. It's just way too much going on social media, where it's not that you should stop your social media, but you should definitely start looking at the new way of business marketing, and that's streaming services. So I hope this information helped. I hope that it was something that was good. Remember, if you have any questions or you need any follow-up, email us at disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Disrupt Tech Podcast, as well as, you know, send your comments and your suggestions and your questions directly to this site, anchor.fm-disrupttech. And we are here. We are here to do that. And we will be addressing all questions and feedback and suggestions on our live cast this Friday on January 22nd. So it's been a pleasure talking to all of you. And until next time, we have an amazing lineup for next week. We'll have a special guest. I'll leave it there for now, but it's going to be amazing. So until next time, everyone, stay safe, stay busy, stay in business, continue to market, continue to embrace tech. Take care. Have you ever wondered how films affect your mental health? Well, Anne Fustel has found the answer. She has written a book. Check it out online. It's called Our Favorite Movies: How Films Affect Our Mental Health. You can purchase it at wearewisely.com/our-favorite-movies. She explores how research has shown that movies with positive messages can make us stronger, kinder, and more empathetic to people. So what do other movies do? Again, go to wearewisely.com to get more information and to purchase.